Hi everyone, Bob Phillips. I'm still here at OCAD and happen to be sitting here with Barry Ace, who is actually one of the animating factors here with what's going on. Can you explain to me what's happening and why?
Yeah, sure, Bob. We started the collective just under a year ago, and we started in Ottawa, the Ottawa Ontario 7, and one of the other artists, Rosalie Fable, came up with the acronym 007, so we thought that was kind of apropos. And so what we did, we brought the seven artists together, and Frank Chibagigit, Rosalie Fable, Ariel Smith, Ron Naganosh, Leo Yerksa, and myself together to form the collective. And then we decided that we would use the collective to invite artists from other cities to work with us. And the artists that we choose will exhibit with us at various venues. And the idea was to use that as a seed to plant, to move the collective's this collective idea forward. And we really didn't want to work with curators. We didn't want to apply for funding. We wanted to go back to the purity of art, artists producing art for art's sakes, not being confined by a curatorial premise, not being linked to an institution's politics, or linked to a funding a report at the end of the process. And so, but we also wanted to be sensitive to grow the community, so we selected the core group to include emerging, mid-career, and established artists so that we would reinvigorate that synergy and have that experience with the senior artists and the younger artists and make it a real interesting artistic reciprocity.
So today, what was happening here today?
Well, today we came to Ontario College of Art and Design we were invited to do a roundtable discussion with OCAD students in collaboration or connection with the Aboriginal Visual Cultural Program at OCAD. And so we wanted to have a record of it. We wanted people to witness what this collective was about, talk to students to show them what possibilities are out there and what we were doing, and present work and invite them to come to the exhibition so that they can see a diversity of work that's being done outside of the curatorial premise, outside of a Art Gallery of Ontario kind of an exhibition. We wanted to keep the work very fresh. Like I said, because limitations, artists were free to present whatever. So when you come to the exhibition, you're not going to see, you know, a photographic exhibition. You're not going to see a painter's exhibition. You're going to see a diversity of medium. You're going to see a diversity of issues. And you're going to get a better idea of what each individual artist's interest is at that particular time. So not fitting into that curatorial premise gives, an exciting view of what artists are doing.
You know, when I was chatting with Ron Naganosh a few minutes ago, I didn't realize it. It's too bad I got to him before the discussion, because he was one of the people that brought up that idea that curators seem to have a big stick. They almost determine what you're allowed to present. Do you have experience with that?
Well, you know, I have curated, so I definitely have to say that, you know, when working as a curator, you have to make a selection of artists, and often if you are working within a curatorial theme, thematic, or curatorial thesis, you know, you have to select either work that was produced, or if you're asking an artist to create new work, you have to engage with that particular artist and so that they understand what the premise is. So in that sense, it is very predetermined in terms of the theme of the exhibition, not necessarily what the artist will create. But often, as Ron mentioned today in the panel discussion, sometimes you create work and the curator is like, well, that doesn't really fit, or it's controversial, or we can't use that particular work. So there is that kind of an issue that can arise. And so us working independently as artists in this kind of a collective, we can take those risks. And the whole point is that those particular new works that are created could be a breakthrough. And if it's not given the opportunity to be exhibited, no one would ever see it. So that's kind of the underlying motivation behind the collective is total artistic freedom. And if you want to take those risks, you take the risks. But also, as an artist taking a risk, you're also responsible for the reaction to that work. So, you know, it's but at least it gets out there in terms of the collective. But yeah, the curatorial community can be a very, very cloistered community.
Well, one of the reasons that I asked that question is that we have a lot of young people out there aspiring to be artists. So there's that part of the art world that they very often miss or don't think about. They're concentrating on creating something, but then there's the problem of actually dealing with curators and institutions. You mentioned earlier that there were certain problems associated with financing, like final reports and things. How does that impact a young artist?
Well, again, you know, those are juried processes, so that when you do apply for a grant, you're in a pool, and you're in either an emerging or a mid-career or a established category. You have a number of artists that you're competing with, so you have to have your resources together, you have to have your visual materials, your written materials, you have to have your exhibition history, and then it's put before a jury of peers, other artists who will make that selection. It's hard for artists in the northern communities, for example, that maybe do not have that expertise or access to what's required. Often grants can be very urban centralized in terms of how those grants are allocated out. And so artists just do not have an opportunity, especially when you're starting out, to get the resources to exhibit or get the venue to show in. So the whole idea of the collective is that we pool our resources, so we all share in the costs. So yes, the van might cost $700 to move, but that's $100 each.
Yes.
So there's cost savings there by working together. And then when we do exhibit outside of the venues or outside of commercial galleries, if we sell work, we get 100% of the profit. Commercial galleries will take up to 50% from you. If you're exhibiting in a gallery, for example, and it's in an exhibition, that piece is on tour, you may get an artist fee, a Carfax fee for exhibiting. But you know, so doing in this kind of a more freeform kind of an approach, and especially for a younger artist, you have the opportunity to share expenses with other artists. So it makes the exhibition opportunities more likely.
Now, another idea that was raised down there at that table was the problems or the benefits of actually donating work to a worthy cause. And I know that many artists do that in order to have their first showings.
Yes.
Does that work?
Well, you know, it does, and it's interesting you raise that. You know, especially when you're an emerging artist, a lot of your early exhibition experience will be at an artist-run center. And artist-run centers are provincially and federally funded institutions, so you know, they rely on those grants. And as the base expands, there's less funding, so they have to seek private sector support and funding. So I came out of an artist center gallery myself, and when I was starting out, so I donate back all the time. Usually they'll have different levels of donation. So, you know, if you give a work, you can give 100% or you can give 50%. So, you know, it's not cut and dry that you're going to give the work away and not be compensated for it. This galleries, artist-run centers will have various degrees. So, you know, you can donate 100% and get a tax credit. You can take 50% and give the gallery 50%, or there'll be a membership. You get a free membership for a year plus. So there's different approaches, but it's really important. And the artists usually come out in to support those kind of endeavors, because we understand the difficulty in the artistic support for exhibition.
Now, 007, mm-hmm. The your collective here,
yeah.
Is about ready to have a marvelous show. Do you Can you tell me something about that?
Yeah, we approached the Gladstone Hotel on Queen Street, and we decided that would be a good venue for us because again, it was an open venue. We could exhibit there and have the freedom to present our work. It was non-curated, so it was perfect. And we came outside of Ottawa. You know, we thought our first show we would like to open up outside of Ottawa, which is. There's not as many opportunities, and in itself is a statement that we had to come to a bigger center as a collective, because a lot of the institutions are very controlled. You have to apply for exhibitions. There's not those kinds of spaces for artists to necessarily go to exhibit. So our inaugural exhibition, ironically, is not in Ottawa.
Yes, that is
ironic. It's in Toronto, and that just shows you that there was a space that could accommodate us and was open to housing our show at the Gladstone.
Well, the Gladstone has turned out to be actually a very good space for a lot of artists. I've been down there when they had Native artists work on the upper floors.
Yeah, the gallery itself, you know, all the floors, they have exhibitions throughout the space. You know, it's a good venue. You get the openings, you get people coming. And then afterwards, you know, the work is up there for viewing, public viewing, and for sale. So it's a perfect little location for us.
So if I'm right, and I go over there tomorrow night, I had better go early, because if I go late, there won't be anything left.
Well, that's a possibility. Like I said, you know, there's a lot of diversity. So that's the beauty of it. There's photography, there's installation, there's painting, there's assemblage. So come out and check it out. There might be something that piques your interest.
Do you mind if I ask you what kind of work you're going to have in there?
I have abstraction. I have painting. So I have about 17 works in the exhibition, and they're based on abstractions of my experience as a dancer, as a powwow dancer. So they're abstractions of color and gestural line.
Well, one of the things that I certainly want to do is go to that and have a look at it. But on the other hand, I suspect that there are a lot of young people out there listening to this program that are sitting around saying to themselves, gee, you know, if I got some of my friends together and we went and talked to some of these organizations, even if it's the hotel downtown,
yeah,
we might be able to do something that begins a career.
Absolutely. You know, it doesn't have to be in a traditional gallery sense. Art can be part of everyday living, and it can be anywhere. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a month-long exhibition. It doesn't have to be a week-long exhibition. It can be an art attack. It can be one day. It can be an intervention, a space. But again, it's the act of getting the work out there and getting the exposure and experience and presenting what you want to present as an artist.
Well, unfortunately, time is one of those factors I have to face, and I'm out of it right now. So at least I'm out of time right now. So I have to say chimagwich to you for
cheers,
your help.
Bob, thank you very much.